And good morning and welcome to Radio Ballady. I'm Ray Hanania here at WNZK AM.
And I am Ali Yunus.
How's everything going, Ali?
Everything is great. How's everything with you?
Everything's good. Are you messing around with your microphone?
No, not anymore, sir. I apologize.
That's good. That's good. You're listening to Radio Ballady here at WNZK AM 690, and we're brought to you by a number of sponsors, Ziad Brothers Importing at Ziad.com. You get great recipes over there, Ali. Are you a cook?
Yes, I am. I cook my own, and as you know, I'm on a diet, a vegan diet.
Oh, and you use Ziad recipes to make hummus?
I should. If you
tabbouleh?
I asked you to send me some samples.
Oh, man, here we go. I forgot to send you food.
Yeah, I talk to you every day. And
yeah, but that's why I keep thinking, you know, maybe if you don't call me for like 4 weeks, I'm going to go, oh, you know what, I forgot to send that stuff to Ali.
Right, right, right. But no, I'm doing good on a vegan diet, but not all my week on vegan diet, but I, you know, 4 or 5 days out of the week, I eat only vegetables, no meat product, which means no cheese, no eggs, something like an Indian diet, you know, but.
And, of course, another of our sponsors, if you need an attorney, Ali, do you need an attorney? Because Jumana K. Ruse at JumanaKRuse.com is the best.
Yeah.
So you don't need an attorney. That's good.
Yeah, I've heard
too. You like talking about food.
Yeah.
I've heard not legal matters.
Yeah. I've talked.
All right.
Yeah,
well,
Jumana, she's the best in terms of a personal injury attorney.
Good.
But I have no accidents. I hope I don't have any accidents. You know,
because do you drive a car or do you ride a camel? Do you, one of the two?
Well, it depends. It depends on where I'm going.
I rode a camel when I went to Jerusalem to occupy Jerusalem.
Oh, really? So back
to your
roots.
Okay. Yeah, the camel was looking at me going, free me. Get me out of this mess.
Right.
Are you kidding? Imagine the way the Israelis treat the Palestinians. I'm telling you, they treat the camels worse.
Yeah.
And then Jake's Candy, also one of our sponsors, 248-747-2223. And Icon Computers with Jamal Bazzi at myiconcomputers.com. We also want to thank our radio partners, including Radio Aramica at radioaramica.com. Listen to our radio show and others 24 hours a day by dialing 712-432-8008. And our sponsors and supporters like MC Gold TV at mcgoldtv.tv, Sabeel Media at sabeelmedia.com, The Washington Report on Middle East Affairs at Washington Report at wrmea.org, at Life for Relief and Development at lifeusa.org, and the Detroit Free Press. Remember, our phone number here at Radio Ballady is 248-557-3300. We do want to hear what you have to say. So, Ali, what's the big story this week? It's kind of like a lot of different things, but what's on the agenda?
There are a lot of big stories this week, of course, but one of them is Obama's announcement before he's going to the Middle East and to visit Israel, West Bank, and Jordan, is that Iran is 1 year away from developing a nuclear weapon. He said that on Israeli television when he was interviewed here in Washington.
Don't you think that's kind of a big phony ruse? Do you really trust the United States to honestly be accurate about whether Iran is or isn't going to have a nuclear weapon?
Well, given the history of the United States when it comes to accusing countries of having nuclear weapons in order to develop an agenda, I think we should take that with a grain of salt. And I've said that yesterday on Al Jazeera when they interviewed me about the subject. And but even if Iran, you know, develop a nuclear technology, it does not mean that Iran will have will weaponize its missiles. Iran maybe will develop a nuclear technology that is military nuclear technology, but this does not mean that it will have the capability of delivering that that weapons or bombs, nor it will have it on missiles ready to be launched. So, in other words, it could have the technology, but does not mean Iran will go nuclear. That means having a nuclear test and declare itself nuclear.
Isn't it true that the United States is just Israel's B? I won't say the B word, but their B, that they yell at us and we jump and we, you know, like little lapdogs. They insist that it's Iran that's the big threat. I don't know, what did Iran do except yell and scream? Say some nasty stuff, no doubt. I'm not going to defend the garbage that Ahmadinejad and some of the Iranian leaders say, but you know what? I mean, does that really constitute, you know, preparation for war? And the Israelis want us to fight, right? I mean, don't they want us to do the fighting? I don't get it.
The Israeli government would love for the U.S. to have a fight against Iran. And as you know, there is a letter drafted by AIPAC to be introduced in Congress as a legislation to commit the U.S. to come to Israeli aid militarily. And economically and diplomatically, should Israel decides.
So when Israel decides to attack Iran, we're going to come to their aid and what? Pay our money so that we cover the cost of all the bombs they dropped on Iran.
So the decision to go to war will be, you know, in the hands of Israel, a foreign country. So that's that. So, but see, if you compare what Obama's policy in his first term, look, the shift that in his second term he's trying to do, he's appealing more to the Israeli public. He is going there and declaring, well, he's not going to force new.
I thought he was just going there to celebrate St. Patrick's Day because, I don't know, he says he's not going to bring a peace plan. So really, is he just going there to kind of solidify votes for the Democratic Party? What's he going to get out of going there? And Iran obviously seems to be like a ruse, in my opinion, but I don't get it.
Yes. Well, I mean, it's strange because he's going there and saying, I'm not going to do anything. I'm just going to visit the wall, the Holocaust Memorial Museum, visit Yitzhak Rabin grave, Theodor Herzl, the founder of Zionism. And, you know, his grave in Jerusalem, and right. He's going to visit maybe the Church of Nativity, you know, some couple of Palestinian sites. And that's about it. You know, he will just listen, and he's not going to do anything. But I think what he's doing really is just going on a trip of atonement to Israel.
Yeah, that's true. He's going there to atone for his sin.
In the first...
Oh, yeah, right. You know. Poor president. You know, he's the first president that the Israelis really disliked. I mean, they've disliked a couple. But President Barack Obama, you know, he does have an Arab name, Hussein, and a lot of Americans, 22%, believe that Obama is Muslim. Israelis, they like to take advantage of all that, don't they?
But see, just because Obama has a Muslim name, this should not mean that, you know, he should be anti-Israel. In fact, there are Muslim countries have diplomatic relations with Israel. Central Asia, Muslim countries, you know, at least nominally, they have...
Why aren't we criticizing them?
No one is criticizing them. No one's criticizing Egypt for having relations. Muslim Brotherhood ruling...
Jordan, Egypt, I mean, they have peace treaties that are what? I mean, it's... Really, these, you know, it's such a frustrating topic because these peace treaties between Egypt and Jordan are basically agreements for the Arabs in Jordan and Egypt not to make demands on Israel because they're meaningless in terms of peace. There's no real peace. It's just giving Israel what it wants.
Well, the real goal for having a peace treaty with Israel is just take Egypt out of the Arab-Israeli conflict.
And to get money from the United States.
Yes, and well.
So how does that work when Israel
exchange for getting money from the United States?
How does that work that Israel actually controls the money we spend in the United States, or has a great influence that can make us pay the people that they want to do something, so we, the taxpayers in the United States, have to pay for it?
Well, Egypt,
okay,
when it comes to
world is screwy.
Yeah, when Egypt gets the money, about 1.5 billion, 200 economic, 1.3 for military, by legislation, Egypt, you know, the Congress specified that a lot of these money goes to American companies to upgrade the Egyptian military, and you know, for the economic, it goes to buy American products such as wheat and other products, and so all this money is recycled to our American companies. And the United States has a specific program to ensure how this money is spent. On the other hand, when the fiscal year announced, this money goes into Egypt and get paid the American companies that Egypt, you know, wants the product from the U.S., such as Lockheed Martin and others. But when it comes to Israel, once the U.S. fiscal year is authorized, the budget is authorized, right away, $3 billion been taken out of the budget and deposited directly in a bank on behalf of Israel in an interest-bearing account.
Wow, it sounds like they got a great 401k that we're funding,
right? $3 billion goes right off the top, skimmed right off the top. It's not like in the middle of the year.
Skimmed. I like that word. It's skimmed right off the top.
Yeah, I mean, just taken off the top.
There's something wrong about it, isn't there? And Americans are so sleepy. They don't care, do they?
When it comes to how the aid is being cashed in, Israel is treated differently. So they put $3 billion in a bank, and right away, the next day, this $3 billion gets more money for Israel. You know, and so that's kind of, you know, strange about this, how this peace arrangement, but it's beneficial to Israel, of course, and to the U.S. Israel, of course, after they signed the peace treaty with Israel, with Egypt in 1979, invaded Lebanon in 1982, bombed Tunisia when Yasser Arafat was there, killed Palestinian leaders, and, of course, you know, bombed Gaza, invaded Gaza, and committed many crimes in the West Bank and next Jerusalem, of course, and next the Golan Heights in 1982. So
maybe it's the Americans that have occupied the West Bank.
But
in reality, isn't it?
Egypt could not do anything, was not a factor in all these things. So it was so Egypt got Sinai, but lost really Egypt in exchange for $1.5 billion from the U.S. in exchange for a peace treaty with Israel. And they reduced their army, of course, to 400,000 people only specifically. And they could not go into Sinai. Sinai is divided to A, B, C regions. And the region that is border with Israel, that's region A. Egypt could only have police force and perhaps maybe one brigade. I'm talking about maybe a few hundreds of police force, not army. And it could not send into Sinai unless with permission and arrangement with Israel, that is to police Gaza border or to go into the refugee camp or the refugee Palestinian refugee camps rather than on the border. So
yeah, it's a horrible, you know, when you think about the whole, it's such a long story, right?
It is.
And difficult to explain to Americans. Isn't that one reason why Americans just don't understand, and this morning they'll be eating their bacon and their scrambled eggs and drinking their, you know, coffee, right? And really overeating, in fact, because they're one of the heaviest populations in the world with the largest obesity problem. They're all sitting there eating and having a good time while all this money comes out of their pocket that could be going to help them in addressing issues in the United States. And they just don't care because, you know, hey, Iran says it doesn't like Israel and we got to spend money to protect Israel. It doesn't make sense.
Every time, every decade, before we had Iraq as a villain in 1991, I remember the media here in the U.S., you know, the fourth largest army, you know, right. Iraq is the most dangerous country in the world.
Oh, yeah, right. Remember that? How...
Yeah, and a similar campaign in 2003. And so,
now, the Iranians, though, are a little bit better than the Iraqis, aren't they?
Yeah, but Ahmadinejad is not helping the Iranian cause. I mean, his...
No, you're right. I agree with you. But, I mean, listen, the Iraqis and Iranians fought each other for 10 years to a stalemate. Doesn't that suggest that the Iranian military is about as qualified to fight a war as Iraq's, you know, Republican Guard was qualified to fight war?
That's true. Iranian hardware and military equipment, it's backward in comparison to Israeli and Americans, even in comparison to what the UAE and Saudi Arabia have, because they have the latest technology, F-16, F-15s,
right.
You know, all this modern technology. Iran, by embargo and reliance on the Chinese, North Korean, and Russian weapons, is a disadvantage here. But what complicates things for the U.S. or Israel to attack Iran is that Iran is much, much larger, and it's much more populated, and it has other cards it could play in the region.
And the Iraqis are gone, and the Israelis don't have anybody to complain about now, right?
Right, and Iran is in a strategic, you know, Gulf Hormuz, that it could block the shipping lanes of oil. So it has a very complicated effects should Iran be attacked by either the U.S. Or the United States. And is not sure if they attack Iran, would that attack will just push Iran back 2 years, 3 years, 5 years, or destroying all of Iran. So what kind of attack is debatable as well. And if they attack Iran, they destroyed a few nuclear sites, a few installations. What's the Iranian reaction? They did not, you know, destroy their regime. No regime change like Saddam Hussein, but it was just a few delays. But it will solidify Iran's position anti-Israel, anti-U.S., and Iran even might go nuclear, because to deter an attack on its territories, Iran will for sure withdraw non-proliferation treaty and withdraw from the agreements that binds it not to go nuclear, and it will go nuclear, and it will have the justification for that, the legal justification. I am attacked. I'm going to go nuclear to defend my sovereignty and
And they're going to play right into the hands of all the propaganda and BS that's being spread out there, right?
Right.
Basically?
Yeah.
Wow. It's almost like it's all orchestrated.
It looks like it. It looks like it. And
all right.
It looks like it. And
well, listen. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
Well, go ahead. I'll give you the mic.
No, I was going to say let's take a quick break here at 18 minutes after the hour. But I should note before we take the break that I don't know, Allie, if you ever had a chance to meet Richard Curtis. He was one of the founders of the Washington Report on Middle East Affairs. Richard Curtis, he was a longtime diplomat, and he was the father of Delinda Hanley, one of the editors at the Washington Report on Middle East Affairs. He passed away January 31st.
Yes.
And I wasn't aware of that until I was able to get a copy of the March issue of the Washington Report on Middle East Affairs, in which Delinda writes a very nice bio about her father, Richard Curtis, and all the things that he did. And I have to say that the Washington Report on Middle East Affairs is one of the great most informative publications out there. It's been out there almost 30 years, I think, now, consistently providing, you know, insight into the Middle East in English and directed in a lot of ways to an American audience. The sleeping giant of ignorance, you know, the fact that they just, the Americans just, they have an opportunity to learn the truth if they want to. And it's just very, very sad, you know, to note that he passed. So I just wanted to take that moment and acknowledge somebody who did so much for an American, who did so much for the Palestinian cause and the Arab cause to help educate Americans.
And for the American cause, you know, because he pushed throughout his life to tell the truth about the Middle East.
Yeah, in fact, that's the little motto that I'm reading, telling the truth for 30 years. There's a big price to pay when you try to speak the truth, and especially if you criticize Israel. They really do a number on you, and it kind of touches into the topic that we're talking about this morning about President Barack Obama. You know, here the guy wanted to tell the truth, but took such a beating, you know, from the Israeli lobby, and the way Americans are so divided, half of them think he's Muslim and he's not American. The other half are just sad that he's their leader. You know, the voters out there think that they elected one of the most popular people on the planet. But, you know, it just he's like subservient to the Israelis. They have him under his thumb. And I think you're right that he's really just going to go to Israel to just kind of kiss the Blarney Stone and say, hey, guys, I'm your buddy. Let's take a break here real quick. And when we come back, we'll
okay.
Continue our discussion here at Radio Ballady. I'm Ray Hannon.
And I'm Ali Yunus.
And we're going to take a break, and we'll be right back right after these messages.
Ziad Brand. Quality products from our family to yours. Ziad Brothers Importing offers the finest quality products, including brands like Sultan, Kraft, Nestle, Hook, Rico Picon, Donna, and many more. Ask your retailer to carry these fine products because you deserve the very best. For more information, visit our website at www.zeod.com. That's www.zeod.com. Zeod, quality products from our family to yours.
Jake's Candy, 2-for-$1 candy bags and $1 candy bags available. Wholesale and distribution. Jake's Candy has been satisfying the sweet tooth of thousands of people for over a decade. Now providing delivery service to Columbus, Cincinnati, and Dayton, Ohio, as well as Rochester and Buffalo, New York, and New York City. For New York service, call Sale at 718-213-1264. Or for more information, call Jake's Candy at 248-747-2223. That's 248-747-2223.
It was my job to save people. Until one night, I was in a car accident. I couldn't work, and the insurance company, they fought me every step of the way. I didn't know what to do.
Call 866-YOUR-RIGHTS.
I'm from Anake Roos. I know what it's like to be refused your rights. When you call, my attorneys and I will fight to get you the compensation you deserve.
Jemana handled my medical benefits and lost wages, and she got me a settlement.
If you have been injured, call 866-YOUR-RIGHTS.
منتجات زياد من عائلتنا إلى عائلتكم. أفضل المنتجات الغذائية على الإطلاق. ماركات سلطان، كرافت، نسلي، بوك، ريجل بيكان، دانا، بالإضافة إلى مجموعة أكبر من المنتجات الغذائية التي تحبها تجدها في كافة المحلات. للمزيد من المعلومات قم بزيارة موقعنا زياد.com. منتجات زياد من عائلتنا إلى عائلتكم.
And welcome back to Radio Ballady. I'm Ray Hanania.
And I'm Ali Yunus.
And we're kind of talking a little bit about Obama's trip to the Middle East. Now, I noted that there was a letter that was written by a group of Jordanians
yes.
about Obama's trip. Tell us, what was that all about?
Well, this letter is an open letter to President Barack Obama urging him to reconsider his position in going to the Middle East. Like we said, you know, we believe this trip is designed to be an atonement trip, to be as a tourist, to go visit sites as the President of the United States, and to register that he actually visited Israel, because he never visited Israel officially prior to that as a President of the United States. So he is going. So the letter, co-authored by me on behalf of the Jordanian-American intellectuals and professionals, doctors and journalists and engineers and otherwise, to urge him when he goes to the Middle East, to pressure Israel in a way that is to use the American prestige and power to enforce in such a way that the Palestinians and Israelis have some kind of a peace agreement before just let the Israelis decide on their own. And not to pressure Israelis or say that peace cannot be forced. It can be forced on two parties, but we'll never have peace in this lifetime. But the United States has a lot of leverage and a lot of power. It could use it. And the letter urges Obama to use that leverage. And the letter, from a perspective of the Jordanians, to help Jordan in this difficult time as an ally and a friend of the United States for over 60 years. Jordan has economic problems, and the U.S. is one of the biggest supporters of Jordan economically. So it urges Obama to facilitate its economic leverage when it comes to Jordan and to help Jordan more and stabilize the region. The letter calls for the end of the bloodshed of Syria, to have peace in Syria, and to help the Syrian people, you know, in their aspirations of democracy and freedom. And to live in peace like any other nation in the region without taking sides on either side of the Syrian conflict.
And in fairness, I mean, you're not bullying Obama. It's a very respectful letter.
Oh, yeah.
Which I read online, and it says, you know, we're urging the United States government to increase its efforts to permanently resolve the Arab-Israeli conflict. And that's an ending the Israeli occupation of Palestinian territories since 1967 and to support the establishment of a secure Palestinian state. So it's a good. It sounds like it's a great letter. It also calls, as you point out, for for the U.S. to use its influence to end the conflict in Syria, which has now been going on, you know, over 2 years, and so many innocent people have died,
yeah.
And it doesn't seem like anybody in the United States really cares.
That's true. That's true. But I mean, because it goes back to Obama's policy. Obama is non-interventionist politician.
Right.
He came to power to end the wars in the Middle East, not to go into another one. So he is very reluctant to go to war, even when it comes to Libya. If you remember, his policy was, or his slogan was, we lead from behind, okay?
Right.
We let our allies take the lead, and we just facilitate the logistics. We'll give them Tomahawk weapons. We'll send our aircraft carriers there to do the intelligence, to do the reconnaissance, and they do the bombing, and they take the lead. So I think when it comes to Syria, he is also leading from behind. Syrian fighters are trained in Jordan, of course, with, you know, Americans and Jordanians, and Jordan has always played that role, training, you know, U.S. allies or taking the lead when it comes to military stuff as far as training.
It sounds like he's not doing anything.
Well, he's not, really.
I mean, when you think about it, either he's a failure at what he's doing or he's not really doing anything. Which is it? Is Obama just a big failure or is he... just not doing anything.
But also there's a contradiction right here. From the Arab, for Arabs have always complained about the U.S. intervention. They always complained about U.S. sending troops to the Middle East to wage war. All Arabs, you know, the left, the right, the nationalists, the Islamists, were anti-U.S. We don't want the U.S. to be in our country. You know, get out of Iraq, get out of Afghanistan. And now we call on the U.S. to intervene and to have war in the region. So from our part, you know, we also are confused. We didn't want the U.S. to wage war against Iraq, but we wanted to wage war against the Syrian regime because we believe, many
right.
believe, that it's a legitimate intervention. So, you know, we are asking the U.S. to have war. We are asking the U.S. to give us, you know, for the U.S., you know, I'm going to use the word Christian country just to highlight that Islamic world,
right.
you know, to use its money to have its soldiers die for our freedom, to spend its billions of dollars for our freedom and our democracy. You know, you see there's another side of the equation there is right there. It should be mentioned that, you know, it's not just, you know, the U.S. doesn't want to intervene. But also we should examine our own rhetoric at the same time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. I mean, it's interesting, and I don't know why Obama is going. I've written several columns trying to, you know, analyze why is Obama going to the Middle East? Is it because of politics? Is it because he's, you know, trying to build his base in the United States? You know, not for him, because he's a lame duck president. This is the time when you can go and do whatever you want to do.
But
you know, when he doesn't have anything to worry about.
When did George Bush went and did whatever he wants to do when he comes to the Middle East? Two-term president.
Yeah, he bombed the heck out of a country that didn't deserve it.
Right.
You know, Iraq, and it had nothing to do with September 11th. But again, the sleepy Americans who paid for that attack on Iraq with their sons' lives and daughters' lives and their tax money. Didn't even understand what was going on, but they didn't even know that. So he did do things on his own. Bush did what he wanted to do from the beginning. Obama is, like, weak in that respect. You know, as much as I dislike what George Bush did, I have to say that he did what he believed needed to be done, and he didn't care what anybody thought about it.
That's true. I mean, because he was driven by ideology, not calculations for the U.S. interests. And that's why didn't care about what people think, and because he was supported by, you know, by ideological right, and it was sort of a plan to go into the Middle East and reshape the Middle East and change the Middle East. For Obama, he wants to undo what George Bush has done, and he doesn't want to fall into the same pit as George Bush did, get involved in the Middle East and neglect the U.S. economy. So Obama is focused, as it appears to be, more on the U.S. economy, And I always question, you know, what's Obama's lasting legacy will be. Is it will be the healthcare system that he developed and passed in Congress, or is it foreign policy? It looks like that Obama has chosen domestic policy as his lasting legacy in the U.S. to be a president who revived the U.S. economy, who developed the healthcare system for all Americans. You know, something this is historic. I mean, Democrats have been trying to do that since 1930s, you know, unsuccessfully, until Obama came to power. So I think with this trip, I think Obama is maybe giving up on the Middle East, and I'm not sure. Maybe he's going to try something in the next 2 years of his 2 years into his presidency. You know, I'm not sure what will he do. But it looks like Obama, you know, at this point, he is just trying to use Bill Clinton strategy, that is to appeal directly to the Israelis. He spoke to the Israeli television.
Yeah, he did say what he wanted to address Israelis directly, and rather than, you know.
But he is the president of the United States. You know, does this strategy work with Egypt? Did any U.S.
No.
ever say
no? Remember his speech to Cairo, what was it, 4 years ago?
Yeah.
What did it do? What?
It was,
I think he didn't follow through with his promise.
Yeah, it was PR campaign. But, you know, I always question, how come U.S. presidents say, well, I want to talk to the Palestinians directly, or the Lebanese directly, or the Syrian, or the Egyptians?
Or
they don't care.
Or the Iranian people. Oh, yeah, they don't care.
They just, okay, they call Mubarak, you know, I want you to do, you know, 1, 2, 3. Oh, yes, sir, I'll do it. They call him an Arab leader. But when it comes to Netanyahu, there's nothing he can do. He says, well, I can't deal with Netanyahu. He's too powerful for me. He won't take orders from us. Even
That's
though,
kind of depressing. So, now you made me depressed, Ali.
So the Israelis, you know, everybody is trying to win the Israeli public, you see.
Right.
Whether the Europeans, whether the Arabs too. You know, I remember Prince Hassan spoke directly to the Israelis. King Hussein, the late King Hussein. Arab leaders want to speak. I mean, the Israeli public, it appears to be that they are in charge, you know, of their own fate. But the Arabs are not. So if
right.
the president of the United States is trying to appeal to them to agree that to either pressure their leader to agree with the president of the United States. So they're all powerless when it comes to the Israeli public. Arab, European, American president. So it is strange, and it is an insult to Arabs too, in my opinion, that nobody cares about what we think. Our views or our sympathies lie. Well, what do we want to do in our lives? Nobody cares, not even our own leaders, and it's a shame.
All right, it's 34 minutes after the top of the hour here on Friday, March 15th, the Ides of March, 2 days before St. Patrick's Day. 4 days before St. Joseph's Day. Hey, Ali, how come the Arabs don't have, like, any major holidays in the United States?
What, Sam?
How come we don't have Saladin Day?
Well,
Salahuddin.
Yeah, Salahuddin liberated Jerusalem.
Il-Yom Salahuddin.
You know, there is a Salahuddin Day celebrated in the United States. You know what day is that?
When?
4th of July, because on 4th of July in 1187, yeah. I don't know, try to sound so geeky.
No, right, yeah.
1187, Salahuddin liberated Jerusalem from the Crusaders Europeans on 4th of July in 1187. So there's a big American.
So why don't we make that a big Arab American holiday then? That's a great idea.
Yeah, I mean, Americans even celebrating the 4th of July when Salah ad-Din,
without realizing it,
retook Jerusalem from Richard Lionheart.
Let's rebrand the 4th of July. I think that's a great. Listen, PR and public relations can make a difference.
Yes.
And well, can change the world.
I know this because I write a military strategy as well. So I've always, you know, the military strategy of Saladin, how he retook Jerusalem, how the battle went there in 1187. What were the factors that for his victory? So I know for a fact that it was 4th of July. And
wow.
it's a great coincidence, really. You know, the U.S.
Well, we should do something with that. Why don't we make the celebrate?
Yeah,
why don't we have Arabs and Muslims celebrate the 4th of July as a symbol of what we can do? Because even though Salah ad-Din took over Jerusalem in 1187, you said?
Yes, 1187. You remember?
1187 on July 4th?
Yes.
You know, the fact is that it was taken away. So we need to take it back.
Yeah, that's true. And but let's have our leaders, listeners in Dearborn. You know, maybe Chip, maybe Jamal will call us. I know he's listening now.
Well, we got a lot of good callers. At 248-557-3300. Let's take our break. And
okay.
When we come back, we'll talk a little bit more. I'm Ray Hannon.
And I'm Ollie Yunus.
And you're listening to Radio Ballady. Remember, you go online at RadioBallady.com. Join our Facebook page. It's easy. You can keep up with what's going on at Radio Ballady on Facebook.
Yeah, Facebook.
The Israeli-controlled Facebook, you know, where
it's,
they...
It's a new technology, Facebook, hopefully, that people sign on.
They hate me on Facebook. You know, that guy, Zuckerberg, or whatever the heck his name is, I don't think he likes me because this is my second Facebook page.
Ah.
I've been brutalized on Facebook.
Well, you have to make friends. You have thousands of friends. I only have maybe...
I got friends. I think they're just FBI monitors, you know, 3,900, you know, people that are just working for the FBI to keep tabs on me. All right, it's 37 minutes after the top of the hour, and we're going to take a break here at Radio Ballady. And when we come back, let's open up the phone lines at 248-557-3300, and we'll also talk a little bit about the 10-year anniversary of the murder, the 10-year anniversary of the murder of Rachel Khoury. A forgotten American in the minds of many Americans. You know, when Israel kills Americans, people don't remember them, or they try to forget them. The Israelis try to influence us not to remember them, but we insist on remembering people like Rachel Khoury. We're going to be right back right after these messages.
The American Muslim Center works for the community. It establishes goodness, virtue, and develops relationships between the Muslim communities as well as regional and national non-Muslim communities. The American Muslim Center on Outer Drive in Dearborn. Call 313-565-9314 or visit AmericanMuslimCenter.org.
Ziad Brand. Quality products from our family to yours. Ziad Brothers Importing offers the finest quality products, including brands like Sultan, Kraft, Nestle, Hook, Rico Picon, Donna, and many more. Ask your retailer to carry these fine products because you deserve the very best. For more information, visit our website at www.ziad.com. That's www.ziad.com. Ziad, quality products from our family to yours.
If you get into a car accident, how will you pick up the pieces when you can't work, when the bills pile up? Who will help you? Call 866-YOUR-RIGHTS.
I called Jemana. She took care of everything. My medical bills, lost wages, and even a large settlement.
I am Shumana Kiruz, and I assure you that my team will not stop until you get the most for your rights.
If you've been in a car accident, call Jemana, 866-YOUR-RIGHTS.
منتجات زياد من عائلتنا إلى عائلتكم أفضل المنتجات الغذائية على الإطلاق ماركات سلطان كرافت نسلي بوك ريجل بيكان دانا بالإضافة إلى مجموعة أكبر من المنتجات الغذائية التي تحبها تجدها في كافة المحلات للمزيد من المعلومات قم بزيارة موقعنا زياد.com منتجات زياد من عائلتنا إلى عائلتكم.
And welcome back to Radio Ballady. I'm Ray Hanania.
And I'm Ollie Yunus.
And it was 10 years ago today that, or 10 years ago this week, I think, that Rachel Khoury, an activist for the Palestinians, an American who was trying to help the Palestinians, born in 1979 in Olympia, Washington, the state of Washington, to Cindy and Craig Khoury, two guests who have been on our show before. The youngest of three children in her family. She was very motivated by social justice and helping those who were less fortunate than her. She went to the Middle East, tried to prevent the Israelis from destroying a Palestinian civilian's home, and she was crushed by an American-made Caterpillar D9 bulldozer, driven by Israeli soldiers, one Israeli soldier, and who was surrounded by several Israeli soldiers. And she stood in front of the D9 at in Gaza, and basically the D9 just really crushed her, and they wouldn't stop, and she died. And all the screaming and all the yelling to try and get them to stop, it was almost like they wanted to do it. Because the Israelis, you know, I've been to Israel many times, Allie, and you know, a lot of good people in Israel. And, you know, sometimes we criticize and focus on the politics of things, and it gives the impression that we're very critical of the people, but we're not. A lot of good Israeli people, a lot of good Jews there, a lot of good Christians, Muslims living there and who want peace. But those Israeli soldiers are monsters. They're vicious. They're hateful. I remember, every time I had to be searched and stopped, it was really depressing.
Yes.
You know.
Well, you've been through there. I haven't. The experience the Palestinians are feeling every day, and that's why Rachel Corrie went to help the Palestinians. You know, it's also, you know, how come Arab Americans don't send their children to Palestine to get to know Palestine, to support the Palestinians, at least morally, not necessarily financially. And, you know, I think that, you know, Israeli or Jewish Americans always make it a point for their kids to go visit Israel as a spiritual homeland of sort, you know, to cement the psychological, the emotional relationship between Jews, American Jews, and Israel. And I'm sure Jewish and European countries do the same with other countries. So how come Arabs and Palestinians in
go ahead. Hey, Allie. I think we lost you there for a second. James, let's bring on CJ real quick on the line to Radio Bellity.
Hello?
Hey, CJ, how are you? Thanks for hanging on there. I think we lost Allie for a second there. Hopefully we're going to get him back. But, CJ, what's your comment?
Yeah, my comment is, you're talking about the 4th of July, American independence, revolution, Salah al-Din, and I've heard you mention many times, you know, we're Americans and this and that.
Right.
Let me tell you, being an American, born from American parents, and also being Muslim.
Right.
What?
And by the way, we have Allie back on the line. Sorry, Allie.
Yes.
CJ is calling on the phone. Go ahead, CJ.
Yeah, and the essence of being American is one thing, is personal ownership of firearms. This is what the 4th of July, how it happened. This is how Salah al-Din happened to be able to conquer Jerusalem. This is why the Muslims nowadays are in the state they are. They put down the sword. Only the strong men have swords. The civilian population is unarmed, which allows invaders to come in, which allows strong men to come in. This is the problem, and I've heard you many times talk anti-gun rhetoric.
Yeah, I'm against owning guns. I mean, that's my opinion.
The problem with that, Ray, is
yes.
The bad guys have guns, okay?
Yes, so, they do.
You against owning the civilian population against owning guns only makes the bad guys
because I don't think a mother who's being robbed by somebody should her only option is to go run and get a gun and try to shoot them, because you know what? The bad guys are going to kill the good people, and the good people are just going to make it even easier to get killed if they have guns.
Totally.
I think we should have better policing and more prison time for people who use guns. In fact, if you kill somebody with a gun, you should get the death penalty right away, and there should be no life in prison. You kill somebody, don't you think? Let's put them to death.
The law-abiding citizen who has a right to protect himself and also...
But I've never seen any law-abiding citizen protect themselves. I've only seen them get killed or family members get killed.
The reason why you're free right now and you live in this country is because I have a gun.
I don't believe that, DJ, and I don't mean to be disrespectful. I understand it's a very heated debate.
You have no concept of what it means to be American, what it means for the citizens to have...
I think being American has nothing to do with
owning
a gun. I think being an American has to do with wanting to do the right thing and being principled and doing...
You don't know history. You don't know history. You don't know common sense.
All right. Well, listen, thank you, CJ. I appreciate it. Listen, I appreciate it, and we tolerate everybody. excuse here, don't you?
Yeah, of course, of course. Even when they criticize you
that's
or me.
Okay, yeah, but that's okay. I respect.
Well, CJ, because I got disconnected. What was?
Yeah, no. CJ was arguing that, you know, the gun control issue, that we should have
a debate.
Americans should have access to weapons, and he knows, he's been very good about pointing out that I'm against. You know, I want to restrict guns. I especially want to restrict automatic
weapons.
But
it always drives the Second Amendment that says we should. This is like when Muslims say, in the Quran says, you should prepare for battle against your enemy, to have a horse and a sword and a train, horse and sword. So do I go as a Muslim and prepare for battle with Israel or whoever attacking me, have all the horses around? Because in the Quran says horses.
I don't know. Listen, but that's still a side issue. And CJ, see, I wish there were Arabs like CJ, American Arabs, who would insert their views in the public discussion. Here we are, a Middle East, you know, radio show, 1 hour every week. CJ was smart enough to call up and dial 248-557-3300 and express his views, right? How many times, Ali, do you listen to American radio and you hear Arabs calling up and insisting on presenting their views on radio?
Well,
we just don't do it. Why is that? Because
apathy.
Me, that's
apathy.
A bigger problem.
Yeah, people don't participate in democracy. That's what I agree with CJ, that part of being American is not necessarily I have to have a gun. That, you know, my Americanism is not does not have to go through a gun or gun control debate. You know, part of being American is to participate in a democracy. But what he did is call in and put his two cents and put his views. Now, I agree or disagree, that's a different issue. And call your representative or call your editor or go out on a demonstration or write a petition to the White House. This is, in my opinion, what signifies being an American, and not necessarily you have to have a gun. I mean, it sounds so bad for other people that you have to have a gun to be an American, as if Americans are all cowboys. And to,
well, I mean, listen,
you know,
whether,
you have to
whether we agree with it or not, what I admire is that CJ is not afraid to express his opinion, and he'll take the time to call in, whereas most Arabs, I'm not saying all, most Arabs, they're just afraid. They're afraid that, you know, it's kind of they think that the INS is going to arrest them, or ICE or the Department of Homeland Security are going to hone in on their telephone call and crack down. But we have one Arab American who is willing to express himself, and we have Osama on the line at Radio Bellity. Osama, thank you for calling.
Hi, Ray. How are you? Hi, Ali.
Good.
Yeah. About calling the local shows, I always call, and I'll tell you what, when they don't like what you're saying, they hang up on you.
Well, you listen, I always try to.
Yes, many times. I'm talking about the.
Yes, no, you're right. There are other radio shows. I always try to be, Ellie and I try to be tolerant, whether we agree with something. The only time I get upset is when, you know, sometimes we get these Christian extremists or Muslim extremists that attack, you know, the Christians attack the Muslims and blame everything on the Muslims, and the Christians call in and attack the Christians.
But see, Osama, thank you for calling. We have millions of listeners out there, all right? And we never hang up on anybody.
No,
right,
we
right?
don't. And,
even
no,
all
yeah,
the millions who listen to us. Everything.
Yeah, and I think Osama makes a good point. It's the ability to, you know, listen and talk and share a view, and as long as you're respectful, right? You know, that's the issue, right, Osama?
That's right. But, no, I'm talking about the different issue. I'm talking about, like, the political issues. Like, I call, you know, like, I don't want to mention any names, but, you know, these hardcore Republicans or...
You can mention name. We don't care.
Yeah, George Bush, Dick Cheney,
Barack Obama.
They put me on hold for like 45 minutes before they get to me.
I wouldn't do that. As soon as people call, we like to bring them on the air.
Yeah, Mark Scott, who long, you know, he had passed away. Same thing. You know, they always cut me off. They put me on hold until I give up. Or, you know, they let me talk, and I thought I was in the air. You know, I was disconnected, you know.
But see, that's why, and you're talking about some mainstream American shows, right?
Right, exactly, yeah.
Yeah, I think if more Arabs would call those mainstream shows and do what you're doing, eventually those radio hosts would have to figure out a way to respond in a better way. But because you're one of the few, and I hosted a radio show at WLS for years in Chicago, and it was a huge 50,000-watt station for 10 years. And I'll tell you what, we'd have 30, 40 people call, and I always let everybody on the air because I felt that, you know, that everybody had a right to express their opinion. That was the most important right that I think this people in this country have. And I think I wish more Arabs were like you, Osama. We would not stand quiet. And even though they play games with us, we still insist on calling and inserting our views.
I think you're right. And you guys are doing a great job. And thank you very much for your show.
Hey, you're a good guy for calling. We appreciate it. 248-557-3300. We got to take one more final break, Allie.
Okay.
And then when we come back, maybe we can say take more calls at 248-557-3300. Maybe talk about Rachel Khoury, because so many Americans have been killed by Israelis, and Americans don't care when the Israelis kill us.
And we talked about Chavez last time, and I have a column in Huffington Post on why Arabs hate and love Hugo Chavez, the late Venezuelan leader. And I drew an analogy between Chavez and Arab leaders of the past, you know, Gamal Abdel Nasser and others. But let's take a break, and we'll talk about these.
All right, and I'm Ray Hanania.
And I'm Ali Yunus.
And this is Radio Bellity at RadioBellity.com, WNZK AM 690. Here every Friday, 8 o'clock Eastern Time, right at, live on the radio and live on the Internet. I just double-checked my website, and the live Internet broadcast through WNZK is going strong. So if you're not in the Metro Detroit area, you can always listen to us all over the country and all over the world. We'll be right back right after these messages.
Ziad Brand. Quality products from our family to yours. Ziad Brothers Importing offers the finest quality products, including brands like Sultan, Kraft, Nestle, Hook, Rico Picone, Donna, and many more. Ask your retailer to carry these fine products because you deserve the very best. For more information, visit our website at www.ziad.com. That's www.ziad.com. Ziad, quality products from our family to yours.
It was my job to save people. Until one night, I was in a car accident. I couldn't work, and the insurance company, they fought me every step of the way. I didn't know what to do.
Call 866-YOUR-RIGHTS.
I'm Shumana Kairouz. I know what it's like to be refused your rights. When you call, my attorneys and I will fight to get you the compensation you deserve.
Jemana handled my medical benefits and lost wages, and she got me a settlement.
If you have been injured, call 866-YOUR-RIGHTS.
منتجات زياد من عائلتنا إلى عائلتكم أفضل المنتجات الغذائية على الإطلاق ماركات سلطان كرافت نسلي بوك ريجل بيكان دانا بالإضافة إلى مجموعة أكبر من المنتجات الغذائية التي تحبها تجدها في كافة المحلات للمزيد من المعلومات قم بزيارة موقعنا زياد.com منتجات زياد من عائلتنا إلى عائلتكم.
And welcome back to Radio Bellity. I'm Ray Hanania.
And I'm Ali Yunus.
And remember, you go to RadioBellity.com and you can connect to all of our online social sites. Facebook, we have our own Facebook page. You know, go support it. You know
Ray, I just read that Palestinian newspaper, Al-Quds, says that Obama will not be visiting Ramallah. He will just go to Bethlehem.
Right.
And to that church of nativity.
So, right, because he wants... Is that your phone going off,
sorry,
Ellie? Is that No, that's the Mossad calling and saying, hey, Ellie, what are you criticizing?
No, actually, I call it from Beirut because I'm a commentator on some Lebanese television.
Well, you're right. I mean, he's not going to go to Ramallah. He's only going to the Church of the Nativity, by the way, where my cousin is a pastor there. But, and he's. I think what he wants to do
You like all Arabs. Whenever he says something, oh, yeah, my cousin worked there. Oh.
Yeah, I got to name drop my relative.
Yeah, my cousin worked at that restaurant. Yeah, great food. The church. Go ahead.
They make a great falafel sandwich.
Yeah.
But you know what, Obama, which goes to point to the fact that Obama is really going to the Middle East, I think, in part, to prove to Americans once and for all that he is a Christian and he's not Muslim, and that's why he's going to the church at the Nativity.
Yeah, and he said, I wish I could go in disguise in Tel Aviv. I just go to the bar and, you know, and drink beer with that and talking to everybody. I'm going to tell you something. Something historic. You know, after the Reconquista in Spain, after the Spanish reconquered Spain, kicked the Muslims and Jews out, you know, Inquisition and persecution, and for them to ensure that the remaining Muslims, they called them crypto-Muslims, a Muslim who, you know, on the surface say we're Christians, but they insisted and have them eat pork. So that's why in the Spanish diet now, pork is everywhere as a test, if you are a Muslim or a Jew or a Christian. You know, it was a policy that to make sure that you are really converted to back to Christianity from Judaism and Islam. So they eat pork all the time. And one of the things that they have you eat pork. So President Obama, I think, you know, it's a weird and
just go out and order a pork sandwich.
Well, I wish I could just go drink beer.
He doesn't need to go to the Church of the Nativity. All he has to do is go to McDonald's and order one of those pork rib sandwiches that they sell.
Right.
I just eat that in public. And then that'll prove and accomplish his goal. Save the money.
You know, that's right. But, you know, for President, it's such a disappointment. You know, disappointment that, you know, a president of the United States saying publicly, I'm going there not to do anything.
That is depressing.
As a tourist. He could go to the pyramids. He's not even going to Egypt, you know, the biggest country. He's going to Jordan and, you know.
Obama is the biggest disappointment in any movement.
And
the
theory. You know, all Arabs have the theory that, okay, first term, president cannot do anything because of pro-Israel lobby.
Right.
And I always say, well, this has nothing to do with the pro-Israel lobby. It has to do with the American people. The latest Gallup on 2/12, February 2/3 poll, 65 or 69% of Americans support Israel, while as 20% support the Palestinians.
That's because of pork.
That's one. And number two, because Israel, of course, you know, is much more popular and religious grounds, of course, churches support Israel because, as you know, Christians believe the second coming of Jesus has to be in Jerusalem. And for that to take place, Jews have to gather and Israel become a state and all Jews go there. And while 80% Republicans support Israel, 70% of Democrats and another 70% of independents support Israel's. You know, Palestinians, they have, you know, single-digit numbers. So that's
right.
Why an American president is not just the pro-Israeli lobby.
Well, then he shouldn't claim that he cares about justice and freedom and all this stuff when he doesn't practice what he preaches.
That's true. I mean,
he's a hypocrite. Obama is a hypocrite.
Well,
let's be honest.
Maybe you call him a hypocrite. Some other people call him a realist. You know, hey, I can't do anything.
In other words, someone who says, right, and someone who gives up and says, I can't do anything. Ellie, I can't do anything about the fact that we're only able to broadcast 1 hour a week.
Are you a hypocrite?
I'm not a hypocrite. Listen, I want to thank you, Ellie. I'm Ray Hanania.
I'm Ali Yunus.
And I want to thank all our listeners for spending time with us this morning. Please join us on Facebook. Go to our website at radioballady.com and check out Ali's columns.
In reference to CJ, maybe we should have a gun control debate next time on the show, next Friday.
And abortion. Why don't we do both of those and really pack the lines with people. Anyway, have a great weekend. We'll talk to you next Friday. Take it easy, everybody. Bye-bye.
Bye.
WNZK has available...